Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard! Keep your arms and legs on the inside at all times. Hold on tight! The show is about to begin!
Good morning, this is Megan.
Hey Megan, it's Ashley. How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. Are you ready? Beautiful. And we're not live, but we are recording. So let me do a brief intro, and then we can get down to doing our questions, if that works for you.
Okay, that sounds good.
Wonderful. So I'm going to put you on mute for just a moment, and then I'll bring you back on.
Okay.
Welcome to today's podcast. This is the Coaching Chicks and Ashley Ross. And I am so pleased to bring you another fantastic way to bring yourself out and to the awareness of your clients. And that is navigating and strategizing the social media landscape. Today's guest is Megan Snyder, who is one of our great friends. And let's just get started. Okay. Welcome, Megan, to the show. And
thank you.
I just want to say thank you for coming on and telling us all about social media. It's a question that I get a lot from the people that we coach and from a lot of other people of how can I use social media? So I'm so excited to have you on here. So tell me a little bit about yourself and how you became a strategic planner for social media and for marketing.
My background is actually in public relations, and I've worked in various arenas in the food, wine, and lifestyle industries, with the last 12 years being focused working with a wine importer. And then in 2009, I went off on my own and started my own PR firm. And with social media being what it is today, it has become a pretty significant part of the full PR package that people do. So I sort of had to jump in, and I did some research projects and learned what I could learn and have been able to work with clients on not only getting into social media, but how to use it as a strong communication tool. And that's where my PR background, a communication background, comes in, because it's what type of content do you put out there and how do you interact with the people that you're trying to talk to.
Okay, very interesting. So When we talk about PR and putting ourselves out there, before we get into social media in particular, what are some of the things that people out there that are trying to expand their relationships in the community and to build their customer base, what are some of the things they should be focusing on overall?
So traditional public relations tactics would be things like trying to get into the media. And we're talking print media as well as nowadays bloggers or online publications. So it's not so much going out there and saying, hey, here's what I'm doing. Because just because you think it's interesting doesn't mean everyone else does. It's finding a way to come up with a creative story and go out and tell that story. And while you're doing so, work into it. Oh, by the way, here's what I'm doing. And that will get your name out there, and it helps people to see you as a valued resource and to think of you when they need a service or need a product that you're selling or that you're providing. So you might use traditional media outlets. You might use print. You might use website content. There's lots of ways to get those stories out there and get that information out there.
So in marketing, we would call that our unique selling proposition. And instead of just having a a 10-second pitch or a 30-second elevator pitch, you actually create a whole dialogue and a story to go with our unique selling proposition? Is that what you're telling me?
Not exactly. Let's take an example of, let's use a gym as an example, a place where you would go to work out. They want to promote that they exist in an area. But just to tell people, hey, we're here, isn't really going to get anyone's attention. So with all of the press that goes on these days about being healthy, especially this time of year with everyone's New Year's resolutions and things, all the press with getting healthy and eating right and exercising, if they can find a certain element, for example, working out an extra 10 minutes a day with no kids running around makes your workout 50% more effective. I have no idea if that's true, but let's use it as an example.
Okay.
then the owner of that gym could put together a story with all of the research that supports this idea and basically tell that story, which really has nothing to do with their unique gym, but tell this story about the extra 10 minutes a day, doing it without your children distracting you, and what those results can bring. Then they can be seen. Of course, they're going to work into their story. They're going to work in the name of their gym, their name as the owner, and their location. But the story itself is this story about how to get more out of your workout. But the people reading it or the people hearing it are also hearing the name of the gym, the name of the location of the gym, the name of the owner. And so they take that story, but they're using it to market themselves in a somewhat different way, because they're not saying, here we are, come visit us. They're telling a story about a topic that relates back to their business.
Okay, so this is more about becoming a trusted source, building that relationship with the people so that when they see you again, they go, oh, I read something about that person.
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Thank you for that explanation. So we can get back into our topic so we don't keep our keep you from your very busy schedule this morning. But what kind of social media platforms do you think work best to convey our messages that are going out to our audience?
So that really is going to depend on the specific audiences that you're trying to reach, and also the type of messages that you've defined. If we're talking a lot of real estate agents, then they would likely use Facebook. They might use Instagram. Everybody's using Twitter in one way or another. So Twitter is great. And I would actually say LinkedIn also would be a good platform. And the reason for that is because the people on LinkedIn are also the people who have the money to make a purchase. They're the people who have professional lifestyles and things like that, because that's a business platform. So really, it depends on what your message is and who your audience is. A interior decorator would probably want to be on Pinterest as well, because they have a lot of visual things to share.
Yes, absolutely. So how would somebody go about making the decision as to where to focus their time?
Definitely you don't want to bite off more than you can chew, for lack of a better way to explain it. So if you're just diving in, you probably want to pick one or two and focus on those one or two. So then it's a matter of deciding which one or two is it going to be. If you're targeting millennials, so that would be people who are in their 20s now, they are not on Facebook as much as Generation Xers, who would be people in their 30s and early 40s, I guess, now. So that would be one way to look at it. Where are the age groups that you're trying to reach? So Facebook is a good platform for the 30-somethings, the 40-somethings, the 50-somethings isn't so great if you're looking at 20-somethings or even teenagers. Not the place to be. Twitter, you're not going to get the older demographic. You're going to get probably 30-somethings and below on Twitter. Pinterest, you're going to have a lot of women. So that's something to consider. And these are very broad demographics. As you start to whittle down who your target audience is, you would have more specifics that you could look at and figure out where are these people. But those are some examples.
And, you know, I always tell people when I'm looking at, you know, developing a blog or developing a website is you have to find out where the people are and what they want to hear. What are they looking for? And I always recommend they go hang out in another blog or another forum related to the topic in this, you know, build that relationship and find out what your audience is looking for and where they hang out, because you're going to find clues. Do you recommend people do that, or how do you find your statistics when you're going out there?
Absolutely. That's great advice. I always recommend somebody who is just starting out on Twitter, sign up and just be a spectator for a while. Find a few people or companies or organizations to follow that either are doing something similar to what you're trying to do or that are just of interest to you, so that you can learn how they're getting interaction on Twitter, so you can learn how to use the language of Twitter. Because Twitter's a little bit intimidating when you go in for the first time. And to watch what's going on first before you jump in full speed ahead is a really great idea. That also works for things like blogs and Facebook. See what other people are doing. See what types of posts are generating reaction from the audience. That's a great idea. There's also lots of market research out there that can be found, some of it through a simple Google search and some of it through paid ways to, you know, gain research. Something like Nielsen, which you pay a lot of money for, is fantastic market data that can be used to figure out what to talk about and how to talk about it.
Yeah, and so it all depends on what level of marketing and how much money you have. And really, you know, don't spend money if you're just starting. Spend some time, figure out your message, and then think about spending your money. I always hate when someone says, well, I've spent thousands of dollars and I never got anywhere. But then their outreach, their marketing, their time was not effectively spent. So, which brings us to my next question, you know, marketing plans. You know, how does someone develop a social media marketing plan, and what does that look like?
I have a nice template that I've put together that is basically the format for developing a social media marketing plan, and it's something that you should definitely have. If a company is thinking about getting into social media or is already there, they need to develop a marketing plan, and that plan should include a lot of information, but some of the key things that it should include are target audiences. And that would start with things as broad as location, gender, age, income, but might drill down to things as specific as moms, athletes, people interested in the environment, stuff like that. So you start broad and then you get down into your smaller specific target audiences. That marketing plan should include a budget for some paid efforts advertising on social media, because these days this idea that social media is really effective and totally free really isn't true. You can get some organic results for free by just being there and being active, but you are going to have to put a little bit of money into the advertising options that places like Facebook and Twitter offer. You should definitely include some messaging concepts that you can relate back to every time you post. That doesn't mean you post the same thing every time, but whatever you post should relate back to a core message or a couple of core messages that you've identified. And everybody needs to have some kind of emergency plan when something goes wrong. Social media is open to everyone. People can respond back. Their responses may not always be positive, and there needs to be a plan in place on how to deal with negative responses or negative publicity that comes as a result of being present on social media. Those are some of the really important key elements. I also recommend a calendar so that you're not scrambling for post ideas, but along with the calendar, you've got to have some real-time information too, because that's what social media is all about.
Okay, excellent. And what do you think about some of these content management systems? I use one. Otherwise, I'd never get anything posted on all the social media that I do. Is that something that you recommend people use, or do you think they should start out, doing it and getting the feel for the platform and then engage in something like Hootsuite or Social Oomph or something like that?
You definitely need to know the platform, just because when you are going in there and you're doing more complicated things with your setup, you may need to be able to navigate the platforms. So you want to learn that. But once you've gotten in and you've learned it, spent a little time there, set up your company or your personality, then I definitely recommend using the content management systems that are available. There are many. You don't need them if you're only on one platform. But if you're doing two or three different platforms, they are really helpful. They do save you time. All of the platforms allow you to schedule, well, not all of them, a lot of them allow you to schedule posts ahead of time. And then these content management systems also allow you to. The biggest warning that I would give with using the content management system is it's very tempting to schedule your entire month or your entire week of posts and then never look at it again for that time frame. And that's definitely a pitfall. You need to monitor what's going on real time, all the time, just so that you can react appropriately or provide real-time information when the opportunity presents itself. And if you fix it and forget it like a slow cooker, you're not going to be able to have that real-time interaction.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also say that when someone comments on a blog or on your social media site, they say congratulations or they say they like something you post. If you have that personal touch right then, that same day, saying thank you or have more questions or put something that relates to it, Facebook will like you better, LinkedIn will like you better, Twitter will like you better. I guarantee that the people that are on your site will like you better as well. Do you find that?
Yes, that's definitely true. The algorithms that are run by Facebook, as well as I'm sure things that are going on the back end of some of the other platforms, do give you preferential treatment if you have more activity on your page. So if people are commenting, liking, sharing, then Facebook knows that and they react accordingly. So that's definitely a plus. Social media is a place where you're building relationships online, even if you never meet the person face-to-face. So just like you would with your next-door neighbor who got a promotion, saying congratulations and then the next-door neighbor responding with thank you definitely applies, because it's that whole relationship building and relationship saving while you're out there interacting on social media. So, yeah, that's great advice.
Yeah, and I always think of it as, when you go to sign up for something and you get this question of are you a robot? And I think that it's too easy that's what I always think of, is because it's too easy to automate. And then we lose that connection. And that's what these sites should be about, is proof
Absolutely.
That you're not a robot. it's too easy to be robotic. I don't know. you know, I grew up, I'm of the older generation, and, you know, I grew up in the 80s, so I always think of that song, Mr. Roboto, you know. I don't know if you can relate to that, but.
I can.
Okay. Beautiful. So, what kind of content? You know, we're talking about content management. We're talking about, you know, the Hootsuite and the Buzz Bundle, and I can go on and on, and I can always provide more resources for anybody who wants information about that. But what kind of content do you think works well to promote ourselves and to build those relationships on social media?
This is something that is pretty much what I talk about when I go out and teach social media. It's really a matter of taking this impulse of promotion and pushing it aside and figuring out exactly what you asked. What type of content generates reaction? What type of content helps people to see me as a trusted resource? So there's a few little tricks. Humor works well. Trivia works well. Sometimes I say useless trivia, and people say that that's offensive if it's useless. But I mean, stats that you don't really need to know but are interesting. That works well. And all of these things need to relate back to your business, to what you do. Any kind of news items that are current that can relate back to your business, using the example of a real estate agent, anything related to mortgages would be interesting to the people that are following a real estate agent. So any news that's hitting, you know, the wire about mortgages could be real-time posted to your Facebook, to your Twitter, in order to provide information that's useful. I would say maybe one in every 9 or 10 of your posts, it's okay if those are blatant self-promotion. But you probably don't want it to be much more often than that.
So it's not the me generation anymore on social media. It's the what can I do for you generation.
Pretty much. Yeah. Or how can I make you listen and pay attention? And just talking about myself all the time isn't going to do that.
I'm just not that interesting, I promise.
I may think I am, but no.
Excellent. Well, that's good advice. So, you know, I hear video, video, video all the time. It's kind of like become the buzz. So do you recommend having videos? Do you recommend articles? I mean, is there something that gets more bang for the buck than something else?
Dogs and babies.
Okay.
No, seriously. Photo, anything that can be an image. So video is definitely a top option, something that people can click on and watch, but it needs to be short. Nobody has time. Everybody suffers from time poverty these days, and nobody has time, nor are they willing to sit and watch a 5 or 10 minute video. So we're talking a minute or less, unless it's really, really great information or a really, really amazing video. It needs to be short. Photos are fantastic. It's a quick glance. You can say a lot with a picture, and people like them. So anything that's visual is going to get more of a reaction than straight text. Articles are also great. You have so much content out there on the web that you can easily pull from. A lot of it's already been shared on social media. So resharing existing content and adding your own unique commentary is a great way to cross-promote, to make more people aware of your site, and just to feed people interesting information, stuff that others are already talking about, things that are already being discussed.
Excellent. Yeah, it's kind of like being in the moment, making sure you're up on what's going on and what everybody is talking about. I think that makes a lot of sense. It's very good advice. And so what about some of the pitfalls and the benefits? You know, you kind of scare me when you talk about having to having to have a emergency plan for when it backfires, or you know, any of those kind of things. So, you know, tell me what that would kind of entail or what that might look like.
Well, if you're going to put yourself out on social media, it's social, it's public. You always have the ability to make it so that outsiders cannot comment on your page. But I don't recommend that at all. So let's use the example of a restaurant. Somebody comes into your restaurant and receives less than adequate customer service. The first place they're going to go is whatever social media platforms they're participating in. Most likely it's going to be Facebook and Twitter and possibly Foursquare. And they're going to go out there and they're going to use hashtags. So they're going to identify you and they're going to use your handle on Twitter and they're going to tag you on Facebook. And they're going to tell as many people as they can possibly tell about the bad experience that they just had at your place of business. Is another one. They're going to talk about it on Yelp. They might blog about it. So you need to be prepared as a business to know how are you going to handle such a situation. The best plan is to simply respond in a professional manner, own up to what happened, apologize, and try to smooth it over. You can also ask the person to talk offline. You know, thanks for your review. I'm sorry that you experienced this. I'd love to learn more. Talk offline. It's okay to defend yourself as well, but you have to do it in, again, a professional and respectful manner because there are a lot of eyes. All of these conversations are public. So that would be one example, is just somebody who's saying, sharing a bad experience about your business. Another example might be,
No, go ahead.
I was going to say another example might be if you are trying to sell real estate in a certain community, and that community has had a lot of crime lately, so people aren't interested in living there. How are you going to fight back against this negative press that isn't really about you, but definitely impacts your business? How are you going to, you know, spin that so that it's okay in the world that you live in and in your business world? And then other simple things like people just being nasty for no apparent reason. What's going to be your SOP in dealing with somebody who comes on your site and uses a bunch of vulgar language? Are you going to respond to them? Are you going to delete their post? Are you going to ignore it? You want to have a standard procedure for how to deal with things like this.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, just so our listeners know, this is not going to be that common. It's not like everybody's out there to attack you. It's just something just in case. And, you know, it used to be, before we were so connected on the internet, we'd say, you know, one person would tell 10 people, and soon you have 100 people talking about whatever it was good or if it was bad. And now, you know, you've got 1,000 people or 1,000,000 people in a short order. And so I think it is very important to keep your eye peeled out for potential problems and issues. And, you know, having that plan, I don't know that I could say that I have one, which I obviously should.
One place that this really comes into play is if you're a larger organization and you have multiple people managing your site, managing your social media presence. You want all of those people to have a very clear understanding of what they are to do if they see something that doesn't seem quite right out on one of the pages. Do they bring it to the CEO? Do they take it to their boss? Do they have a standard way to answer it? It's really important if you have more than one person dealing with the social media aspect of your business.
Wow. Well, and, you know, we had, I worked for the state, a couple different states, in managing projects and funds and in the past. And, of course, we had one PR person that would answer any questions, but we were all out there. And so if we saw something, we had to direct it to that one person to make the decision as to how to handle it. And that's probably one of the best pieces of advice, especially for a larger organization, is to have one person who can answer to the crisis so you don't get mixed messages. That's probably the worst thing that you could probably do. So, oh my gosh. And I've actually been in that situation. We had a situation in Arizona with mountain lions that had to be answered to. And so you just have to be aware of what is it that I can say and what is it that I can't say. And are there classes or is there online instruction that would help somebody know the correct, politically correct ways to answer some of these an accusation or to answer if there was a problem?
Yes. Somebody who has a PR background would certainly know how to handle it. So if you have an employee, like you mentioned, your PR person, they would know what to do and could advise the rest of the staff. There is definitely resources that you can just simply look up on the internet where you can get good information. There are plenty of risk management classes out there that you can take through professional building. When I speak on social media, I always talk about this type of stuff. Unfortunately, there isn't a blanket answer because every situation is going to be a little bit different. But one thing to remember is you never have to divulge all the information, but you have to be honest and you have to be transparent to an extent so that people know that you are telling the truth and so that people understand that you do care about what's going on. And you always have to be professional.
Absolutely. Professional, I think, is the word of the day. And just like when you want to avoid, as a kid, you learn how to give an answer without giving the entire answer. I think that as adults, we need to learn how to modify the answers pouring out of our mouth. Absolutely. So what do you think are some of the benefits? Why should someone use social media? What are some of the great benefits that people can find? You know, I have a lot of people that are not convinced yet that this is the way to go. So what could you tell us just briefly?
Well, if everyone knows they need a website to be found these days, having yourself on social media is like adding another two or three websites that people could stumble onto if they did the appropriate search through a search engine. So that's one really obvious way. And these are free platforms. So it's basically like creating a free presence online in addition to your website, which you're obviously paying to have a URL and to have it hosted and things like that. So that's one really obvious answer. It gives you the ability to watch what's going on with your customers and with the industry that you work in. So if somebody has questions and they're talking about them online, you may see them and you may be able to get involved in the conversation through your social media platforms. Or you can just gain knowledge by watching what others are talking about. And in order to do that, on some platforms, you're going to have a presence of your own in order to watch. There are conversations going on all day, every day. And being available through social media allows you to take advantage of those conversations. Once you've generated a following, you're able to get your message out there. And even though I just said a few minutes ago not to self-promote too much, you are able to self-promote to an extent to the people who already care because they've chosen to follow you. So they care what you have to say. They care what you about your business or about your product. So this is your opportunity to self-promote to an audience that's already said, yeah, we're interested a little bit. We care. We want to know what's going on. So those are just a few of the reasons that it definitely makes sense to be there. And why not?
That's good advice. I like that. Why not? kind of reminds me of the Nike commercial, just do it. Because if you don't start now,
yeah.
you're going to wish that you were there 5 minutes from now.
And people are looking for you to be there. They're going online and they're searching, not through a search engine, but they're going into Facebook and they're searching your company or your name. They're going into Twitter and they're searching your business. So let them find you. And if you don't care about having thousands of people following you, that's fine. Have your 50 or 60 people who are interested and talk to them. But at least they were able to find you.
True. And honestly, one of the first places I do when I look when I have a new client or I have somebody that I'm interested in following is I go see what their social presence is. Because that is almost the best judgment of can they service me? Can they provide what I need? If they have 20,000 followers, that could be a benefit or it could be a deterrent depending on what it is that I'm looking for. And so whether it's Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter, you know, I think that it's free. You might as well do it. And it does help you build that relationship, that sense of being the expert. And I think that the best way to promote ourselves is to become an expert in our niche and in our topic. And we do that by showing that expertise. So any last tips or information for us today, Megan?
Well, one last little point related to what we were just discussing about why should you be there and why not be there. As a PR person, I personally don't feel that my business needs to be on Facebook. And for that reason, I did not have a business page on Facebook for Megan Snyder Communications. However, I'm going out and I'm teaching people strategy and I'm talking to them about how to do it. The first thing they're doing is going onto Facebook and tagging me or looking for me. And guess what? I'm not there. So that doesn't look so good to them who don't understand the reason that I chose not to be there. So I went ahead and created my Facebook page. And I don't have a lot of followers, but that's okay because I'm using other platforms where I believe the PR element is more in place. But I post to my Facebook page and I interact with people there. And I really did need to have it because it sent a strange message to not be there. So.
Good point. Good point. You know, there's no point in saying that I'm an expert in blogging if you can't find my blog. Or
yeah.
I can't say I'm an expert skier if you never see me in pictures skiing. So absolutely, I think that's great advice. And absolutely, take into account where your audience is hanging out so that you can make best use of your time and the platform that you choose. So until next time, thank you, Megan, for your time today. This has been absolutely fascinating. I learned a lot, even though I'm out there and I do teach the subject. I always get so much from somebody else's perspective, and it makes me feel good when I'm actually on the right track. So, talk about self-promotion. Okay. So, thank you again. And we will talk to you next time. And, Megan, we will have you on here again on another topic soon, and I can't wait.
Sounds good.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, push the safety bars up and exit the ride.